Well, would you help me this evening with your prayers? May the Lord's blessing and inspiration and anointing upon His Word. Thankful for the privilege of being here with you. I'd like to begin in the book of Psalms, 118th chapter. Consider the thought as we've written, bind the sacrifice. The 118th chapter of Psalms is a psalm of deliverance. It's a psalm of rejoicing at the Lord's deliverance that He had given unto His people. And towards the end of the chapter it says, the 27th verse, God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. I want to consider this thought a little while this evening. We read about in the Old Testament when God instituted the worship of God in the tabernacle. He ordained the brazen altar in the outer court, and there was sacrifice made for the atonement of the people. And I want us to get the imagery of someone bringing before that altar and before the priest there offering the sacrifices upon it. Perhaps a little lamb. You know, no animal that I've ever seen really wishes to die. There is usually, to some extent, and perhaps less so with a lamb, a struggle that ensues. Not to be graphic, but to realize that death isn't a pretty thing. And it wasn't with the killing of sacrifices. It was a bloody and a gruesome thing, but it was necessary in what God set up for the atonement of His people. It wasn't pretty what Christ went through, but thank the Lord He went through it. Can you imagine tonight that little sacrifice being lifted upon the altar and the struggle ensuing? At the four corners of that altar were horns by design of the Lord. Bind the sacrifice. Tie it down. Bind it upon the horns of that altar. And I want to think tonight about the sacrifice that we bring unto the altar. I'm thankful it's much different than the nature of those sacrifices. But I'd like to read a familiar scripture to us found, and believe it's already been read in this meeting. The 12th chapter of the book of Romans. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The sacrifice that we bring unto the Lord is not the best of our flocks, it's the best of us. It is to be all of us that we bring before the Lord and present to Him as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. You know, there is something of this sacrifice that doesn't want to die. The flesh does not want to die. Self does not want to die. It'll kick and it'll squirm and it'll fight all the way. But the instruction was, bind the sacrifice to the horns of the altar. And it speaks to me of a determination, of a will, that I'm going through with this. I mean for this to be completed. I mean for this sacrifice to be carried through to its fulfillment. A wounded lamb with a partial nick on the neck doesn't do anything. I mean to go through with this. It is important for us tonight that we have the want to, the will, the determination that I'm going through with the Lord. I mean to go all the way through. I'm not in this just half-heartedly. I'm not just testing the waters. Lord, I want to offer myself a living sacrifice unto you. This is about more than a camp meeting experience. Lord, I want something that's going to stay there. Yes. throughout the year. I want something that is still on the altar whenever I'm back at work, back at school, whenever I'm back in the routine of life. And you know the Lord has an experience for us that spans camp meetings. The Lord has an experience for us that we can keep ourselves upon the altar. But there's an action that's going to be required on our part. We're going to have to be willing to go all the way through. To not look back. To not go half measures. But to bind the sacrifice upon the altar. We're going to have to be willing to deal with indecision. We're going to have to be willing to put that behind us. There's going to have to come a point where I say I've made up my mind. Waffling is over. Indecision is behind me. I know the way that I want to take now. And I'm going to go through with it. By the Lord's help and by the Lord's grace, I'm not stopping until I've gone all the way. I believe it was Elijah that asked the people who were in this perpetual pattern of back and forth between the worship of Baal and the worship of God. And he said, how long do you halt between two opinions here? It's time to make up your mind. It's time to settle some things. It's time to decide in your hearts and in your minds. Fix it. Tie that thing down. Don't let it jump off the altar again. Tie that thing down with some cords that it's not getting up again. It starts by coming to the Lord. It starts by coming to our altar. Whether that's in one of our meetings or that place that the Lord deals with my heart and I yield. It starts right there. But I'm going to tell you what will happen if you don't tie the sacrifice down. The thing's going to try to get off. Bind the sacrifice with cords. Because this is a living sacrifice. And Paul said, I die not once, but I die daily. This is my experience. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It is the life that I live in Christ. A life of daily binding this thing to the altar again as a living sacrifice. I'd like to turn now to the book of Luke. Luke, the 21st chapter. Luke 21, we'll begin with the 12th verse. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. You know, the Lord was never and is not about bait and switch. He's not about enticing people with gimmicks and then in the fine print they find out later, it's not what I bargained for. He said, you're going to have to be willing to put your hand to the plow and not look back. You're going to have to be willing to forsake yourself daily. To die out daily and to take up your cross and follow me. If you're not willing to do that, you can't be my disciple. It's not a matter of I don't want you to. You're not suited to. You're not going to be able to be my disciple. The Lord was foretelling something that most certainly came to pass. But it wasn't at this moment. This was the time that they were still with their Lord. He said the time comes when the bridegroom is not with them. And then they're going to weep and they're going to fast. But these were, if we could say, the good times. And Jesus began painting this picture before him. Who wants to hear this kind of thing? You know, the Lord was wanting to prepare them for something that was coming. He said, this is going to turn to you for a testimony. This is part of the plan. The plan is not ease. The plan is not necessarily your comfort. The plan is the kingdom of God and its furtherance and things of eternal value. And these very things that look so destructive will turn for a testimony to that very end. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts. Amen. Not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. You shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. Some of you they caused to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But I want you to settle it. This is the time right now before these moments come. Before the persecution hits. Now's the time to do some settling. Now's the time to make up your mind right now. Don't wait till the storm hits. Don't wait till the persecution is raging against you to try to decide then, do I really mean this or not? Am I really going all the way with the Lord or am I not? Because if you get to that point and you're still in that moment, that place of indecision, I can tell you what the answer is going to be. There will be some reason to go back. To compromise. Now's the time to settle it. Determine in your minds that you're not going to lean into your own understanding. That you're not going to try to find your own way through this. I'm going to take care of you. I'll carry you all the way, and such is His promise to every one of us. But we're going to have to settle it in our hearts tonight. Lord, I'm going through. Lord, I mean by Your grace to go all the way, no matter what comes. And Lord, I can say that, you know what, it's all predicated on by the grace of God. And that's what He's promising them there. I'll be with you. Trust in Me. Settle it in your hearts. Don't go into that with any indecision. And I'll be there to give you wisdom. I'll be there in that moment to give you the grace that you need. But you're going to have to settle it. And the settling time is right now. Folks, whatever we think of what's going on in the world today, I would propose to you that these are the good times. These are the settling times. This is the time to get it fixed. This is the time to bind the sacrifice to the altar right now. Can you imagine what would have happened if three young men named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had not had it settled? If they wouldn't have had the sacrifice, so to speak, bound before the time that the music played. Paul warned the Corinthians. He said, I fear lest the serpent, just like he did to Eve through his subtlety, lest you also be beguiled in your minds. You know the tricks the enemy tries to play in our minds? Especially in a moment like that, if you don't have it settled. You know how easy it could have been for them to reason in their minds? What good's it going to do anybody if we're dead? How are we going to be any light unto this heathen nation in our graves? Lord, You who see the heart, You know that I'm not bowing down in my heart. But Lord, I'm in some sticky situations here. What they tell the king when they were brought before him and his visage was changed with fury against them. And they knew what the stakes were. And they said because they had it settled and they had it bound. They said, we're not careful to answer You in this matter. The Lord is able to deliver us. But I'm going to tell you what, even if He doesn't, I've got it fixed. I've got this thing tied down, even if it doesn't go the way that I'm expecting and wanting. I've got it settled. There's no consideration of going back here. That's not an option to worship your gods. There are some options that we're going to have to take off the table that I don't consider them. I've got it settled. I've got it fixed. A young man or a young woman that gets married, you want your companion to keep their options open? Let's see how this goes for a little while. if this doesn't work out, I got this sweetheart from high school that, no, you better have it settled by that day. You better have, for better or for worse, choosing you above all others. It's fixed, it's settled, it's final. I'm going on and I'm going forward now. And from that moment on, according to scriptures, you better not have any other option on the table. If you leave options on the table, you know what happens? The enemy begins to exercise those options somewhere down the road. If someone finds himself in a place that a marriage has dissolved, you better take some options off the table. Because the enemy is going to come and present himself to your mind. All the reasons and how reasonable it is. And there are going to be plenty of prophets who will tell you that you can go and get you another one. And here's all the reasons and all the scriptures. Don't wait until that time when your heart is lonely to decide whether or not you believe this. You better fix it in your heart. You better settle it in your heart now. Young people, before you get to that time of deciding who you're going to make your companion, you better settle it in your heart. You better take some options off the table. Not going to be yoked up with an unbeliever. Lord, I want somebody that's going to be a helpmeet to me in this journey to heaven. We need to make up our minds. All those Hebrew children had it settled. We're not careful, and the Lord delivered them from that. But I want to present to your remembrance now another man. We won't turn and read all of these, but you remember Balaam? Balaam received some visitors, and their request was pretty simple. We want you to go and curse God's people. How hard should that answer be? Well, Balaam went and he asked the Lord about it. You know what answer the Lord gave him? How are you going to curse what I've blessed? No, don't go curse my people. So Balaam went back and he told him. The Lord said, to his credit, the Lord said, I can't go and curse his people. So they went back and they told the king, and the king wasn't satisfied with that answer. And they upped the ante. They increased the stakes for him. They came back with a sweeter offer. And instead of turning him around at the gate, he said, come on in. Let me pray about it again. I'm going to tell you, there was something that wasn't settled. There was something that wasn't tied down here. There was something, and you can read in the New Testament about him, there was something of some covetousness here that was starting to flop on the altar. And it heard the sound of that offer of that incentive. It started to raise its head. The Lord will let us go the way that we choose to go. I'm going to tell you, it's for our eternal good that we get some things settled now. Don't wait till the storm hits to try to board up your windows. You better look at the forecast and put the boards on the windows before the storm hits. And the Lord's given us a forecast. The old tempter is going to come your way and mine. I need to be ready for him. He's going to come and present himself to my mind. He's going to appeal to my heart, to my desires, to everything within me. He's going to present his case. I better have it settled. I better have my mind made up before I go into that. I remember being offered once a 3-day, 2-night vacation for free. All you have to do is listen to a 90-minute sales talk. Free, by the way. Free and a free dinner on top of it. You know why they do that? It's not because they have extra money sitting around they don't know what to do with. They do that because their salespeople are so persuasive that enough people going to this sales talk choose to buy into this timeshare that it makes it financially profitable to be able to do that. You better make your mind up before you get into the sales talk that the enemy's going to present to you. You better make your mind up now what you believe and which way you're going to go. Because when the winds are blowing, it's hard to make up your mind. You ever hear the phrase, batten down the hatches? If you're out sailing and the winds begin to pick up and you see the sky is getting dark, it's time to lash down the gear and batten down the hatches. Because this deck's about to start rocking, and anything that's not tied down is going overboard. And I'm going to tell you, whether it's in your individual life or in our nation, when the storms hit, if you don't have some things tied down, they're likely going to go overboard. Let's batten down the hatches. Let's tie some things down tonight. I believe there are too many places in people's lives that are shifting around. There's too many sacrifices that are starting to flop. There's too many places that are, there are too many convictions that are starting to slide across the deck. Folks, it's time to put indecision behind us. I need to make some decisions. Do I believe this thing or do I not? Am I going to go this way or am I not? I'd like to look at the 11th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. The second verse, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto him, Go and show John again those things that which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto him. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? Are you looking for somebody that whenever the wind begins to blow, that's the direction they go? I saw a bumper sticker one time on the back of a car that said, morally flexible. Do you want to be morally flexible? You want to be adaptable based on your surroundings and your situation? What'd you go out there to see? Now John, the mighty prophet, John the Baptist, is in prison. What's this all about? Well, what's wrong with John? He sent and asked the question, are you he? Why is he asking that? He's the one that proclaimed that he was. You know what he's doing? He's tying those knots a little bit tighter. He's binding that thing a little bit tighter. It's okay to come to the Lord with our questions. It's okay to come and say, Lord, I thought I had a hold of this. Lord, I thought I understood this. But I'm going to tell you, things are, they're getting shuffled around in my mind. And I'm hearing all these different things. And I don't really know which way is up from down. Lord, would you show me? It's all right. And I'll say it is not only all right, but it is important to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I got some questions. John did that. Lord, I want to make sure. I want to make sure that I got this thing right. I want to make sure that I'm prepared. And I'm going to tell you, John got it tied down. And whenever that time came, just shortly after that, where they said, take his head off. I'm going to tell you, that thing was still tied down. And he went all the way with victory in his soul. And the Lord has an experience for every one of us. Maybe I've been up and down and wishy-washy throughout life. It's time to settle some things tonight. It's time to tie the sacrifice down. It's time to come to the Lord. And maybe I say, Lord, I've seen some things. I've seen you working among the people of God. Lord, I have felt your presence and your anointing. But there's some things I don't understand here. Lord, there's some things I'm struggling with here. Lord, I hear the call out there. It's time to come and say, Lord, I still want to go all the way with you. Lord, I want an experience that's going to take me all the way through. It's not in our strength. Old Peter found out in a hurry that he didn't have things tied down like he thought he did before this, or at the time that Jesus was crucified, rather. He didn't have the strength that he thought he did. And you and I are no match for this old world. You and I are no match for the God of this world that attacks the minds of men and women that are smarter than me. I'm no match for it. Folks, there are a lot of people that have heard the anointed singing of God's people. There are a lot of folks who have sat under and even proclaimed the simplicity of God's word and accepted it and testified of it as being true, who somewhere down the line the knots started loosening. Somewhere down the line, the ropes started getting a little bit loose and things started shifting around a little bit. There's a time to tie the ropes down. It's before the sacrifice jumps off of the altar. I want to remind us of an account in Paul's life found in Acts, the 27th chapter. Acts 27 and beginning in the 29th verse, the account of Paul's shipwreck. "In fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day." I imagine they did. "And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, 'Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved.' Then the soldiers cut off the ropes." From what? From the lifeboat. Because the Lord had told Paul, whoever stays with the ship's going to be saved. And as they're looking and they're seeing the storm and they're realizing that their doom is likely impending, this could be the end of it for us. These lifeboats are here for a reason. It makes all the sense in the world for me to get in this lifeboat right now. It's my best chance. But the Lord said, no, you better stay with the ship. I'm going to tell you, when it looks like things are going down, you better stay with the ship. You better stay where the blessing of the Lord is. Whenever they heard that, they cut the ropes. I know I'm mixing analogies here a little bit, but I want us to realize the finality of their decision. Yes. Though the other ropes were bound, these were cut. But this was their option that was on the table. Yes. This was their escape route. I mentioned to you of marriages. You better cut the ropes to the lifeboat.
That's right.
You're in this thing for life.
That's right.
What about with the Lord? Is our covenant with Him less important?
No,
folks, we better cut the ropes of our options, of our alternative plans, of what the world offers of a way of life, and say, Lord, whatever this night might hold, I'm staying with your ship.
That's right.
Cut the lifeboats. I'd like to turn to Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter. I want to think a little more about what it means for us and how we bind this sacrifice. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and the 4th verse. You know, there's a way that we tie the sacrifice down. Make a knot. 5th chapter of Ecclesiastes. The 2nd verse. "Be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in the heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed." I want to think for a moment about vows. You know, in our world, we're living in a time where vows are despised more and more, where more and more people, couples, are choosing cohabitation than to make the vow of marriage. They're afraid of tying a knot. They're afraid of making a vow. And there's a balance in this that you better be careful the vows that you make, because there's a God in heaven that's listening to the vows that you've made. That applies to marriage. There's a reason why a paper of annulment won't break what the vow you've made before God is. There is a God in heaven that listens to the vows that we make. It's a serious thing for us to make a vow before God. This isn't just we're not here playing games tonight. This is something serious. These are our solemn assemblies where we come together and it's really about me and God. Lord, I want to do business with you. But I don't want to see us go the way of the world where they say, well, the answer then is just don't make vows. The answer then is just leave all your options on the table. That's not the answer. The answer is for me to very deliberately make those consecrations before the Lord. That I come to a place and I've weighed it out. I've counted the cost. And I say, Lord, I mean to be one of yours. Lord, I mean to be your child. I mean to go all the way. And by your grace, Lord, I'm going all the way. But I'm going to tell you, in your life, it's not just going to be a vague vow. There are going to be places the Lord comes along and He wants you to make some vows on some very specific things that I need to tie down. Maybe they're causing me some trouble. And I need to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I mean this. Lord, there's something here that's causing me some trouble. Lord, I want to tie that thing to the horns of the altar. Defer not to pay it. The other part of this is we who are here tonight need to examine the vows that we've already made. Those times that we've gotten ourselves into trouble. Those times that I've been in distress. Those times that I needed a way out and I'm desperate and I'm calling upon the Lord. Lord, I'll never do that. Lord, I'll... Where are we in relation to those vows? Are the knots starting to work loose? You know, there's a danger in easy times. We already heard about the slothful man. There's a danger in easy times. Knots have a way of loosening themselves without us even noticing it. And I believe it's good for us from time to time to come back to that altar and say, Lord, I want to rebind this. You can call it rededicate, reconsecrate. Lord, I still mean it. Lord, these things that you've dealt with me about, maybe some things are starting to get a little bit slack, a little bit loose. Lord, I want to tie those things down. Job said, I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? There's some covenants that I've made with my eyes. As I mentioned in the beginning, this old flesh doesn't like to die. But if you want to make it inside of God's heaven, it's going to have to. We're going to have to be willing to make some covenants with the Lord. We're going to have to be willing to draw some lines, is what I'm saying. There's going to have to be some places in my life that I say, Lord, you've put your finger on this. Lord, I've stumbled over this thing too many times. And Lord, by your help and by your grace, I'm not going there again. We're going to have to be willing to draw those lines and to keep them. What are these cords? God said to the prophet Hosea, I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. I'm going to tell you, this salvation, I have not found to be a bondage. Amen. We need to tie ourselves to the altar with some cords of love that the Lord draws us with. What heart could e'er withhold? A love that costs so dearly the offering of thy soul. Song number 512 says, bound to him eternally. By what? By love's strong cord. How are the cords tonight? How are they holding up? Another song says, His love, His gracious voice have fixed my roving heart. Tonight, if our heart's roving, if the sacrifice is shifting around, the Lord wants to fix it. He wants us to settle it in our hearts tonight. I want to rehearse to you a story that I've told often of King John of Bohemia, a blind king in the 14th century. Wanted to go out to battle. There's only so much that you can do when you're blind. But the devotion of his men caused them to say, King, if you want to go to the battle, we're right there with you. They set him on a horse. They took their own horses. And they tied the bridles together. And they went into battle. They were all slain. And they found their horses and their bodies. And those bridles were tied together. Why would you tie them together? You know, in the heat of the battle, it's real easy to say, I don't know about this. I'm starting to wonder if I really mean this or not. It goes back to what we've been discussing here. Folks, we got to get it fixed before we get into the battles. We're going to have to tie those cords of love and get it settled and get it fixed. Let's close in Isaiah, the 50th chapter. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. Folks, no matter how many times we've had to come back and tighten the knots. And I'll go so far as to say no matter how many times we might have failed. You know, the Lord has an experience for us that can keep us. Amen. I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. You know of whom this prophecy was? It was of Christ. Aren't you thankful that Christ went to the garden that night and falling on His face until it was fixed and it was settled? And it was tied down. And he could get up from there and go all the way to Calvary until he could say, it is finished. He had it fixed. He had it settled. I've set my face like a flint. And that's what you and I are going to have to do. To set our face like a flint. Every one of us in here tonight can be successful. And I believe that the Lord envisions in His great heart and mind, every one of us inside of His heaven.
Yes.
It's possible.
Yes.
The Lord is able, and the Lord will do His part. The Lord God will help me. But I'm going to have to be willing to set my face like a flint. Again, I ask, how long will we halt between two opinions? How long will we go before we tie it down and say, Lord, I want to fix it? It's time to make straight paths for our feet. That path that maybe in the past wove this way and drifted that way. And Lord, I'm ready to get it fixed. I want to get this thing settled. I want to get it tied down. And I want to make straight paths for my feet from here on out.
Amen.
Choose you this day whom you'll serve. We're willing to go all the way. Do we have the long range in view? Tonight, how are the knots? Lord, help us to bind the sacrifice. You pray for me. Amen.